to Revelation 4. We're going to read the entire chapter. I'll read verse 1, and then you join with me on every other verse, ending at verse 11, which is our theme verse. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne was 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and let's keep reading, please. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." May God bless the reading of his word. We'll pray, and then with the help of the Lord, I'd like to bring you a message entitled, "Bring Him Glory." Heavenly Father, we truly need your help once again this morning. Whether we're listening or speaking, we are incapable of getting everything that is needed to be done without your great help. And so, please, I pray that you'd empty me of self. I pray that you'd fill me once again with your Spirit, hide me behind the cross. I pray that you'd help my mind to be focused on the Scripture, focused on the principles that you gave me. If there's something I should not say that even was on my notes, that you would help me not to see it, that you would just empower each of us. Again, Lord, I'm praying fervently for those that might be lost here today, that you would, on this very first Sunday, bring Holy Ghost conviction on them, that they must get saved today. And then, Lord, for all of us that know the Lord as Savior, I pray that we would be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. I don't know what everyone needs, Father, but that's the beauty, you do. And so, Holy Spirit of God, move in every seat and move in every life, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, John the Apostle, this is not John the Baptist, this is John the Apostle, who is the human penman of Revelation. Of course, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God-breathed. This is not a book of man. No matter what any critic, no matter what any atheist, no matter what any skeptic will say, these are not just man's opinions. If you hold a Bible in your lap right now, and I have a Bible on this desk, I guess they call it, some people do, it is not the word of man. So we just read one chapter. Again, the Bible wasn't divided into chapters necessarily when it was written, but it's nice to have these chapter divisions for clarity and things sometimes, but they're not inspired. But the point is this: we just read a segment of the Bible that came to John by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not something that John fell asleep one night, and because he had too much, too much spice that day, that in the middle of the night he saw all this stuff. No, this is stuff that God gave him. This is a vision that God gave the Apostle John that we might see it today. So let's remember right off the bat that we hold in our hands the inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God. And boy, I tell you what, let the Word of God be your guide in 2025. And let everything else be on the side and focus on the Scripture. So these two chapters, we did not read chapter 5, but we read 4, are a bit of a picture that showing us the invitation that was given to John by God into the throne room. Now we get to, if you will, follow into this invitation as well. We get to see in our mind's eye through the written word of God through John what it was like and what a picture we see. I mean, even from Revelation 1 with Brother Allen reading, I think our hearts have already been greatly stirred by the word of God. What he witnesses in these two chapters, I've labeled this, you may label it something different and that's fine, but I've labeled it one of, if not the greatest, most amazing worship services that we could ever see. Now, there's more to come, by the way, okay? This worship is not over. It's not going to end right here. It's not going to end with what happens, what John sees. It's going to continue for all eternity. What would follow these two chapters, though? If you've ever read the book of Revelation, you know. What would follow these two chapters would be all of the judgments. We might refer to this as the tribulation. That God would allow John even to see. We're not working our way through the entire book, by the way. We're looking at this chapter, but I'm just giving a little bit of an overview. That God would allow John to see and put down on the parchment for us to read today. This quote, "The vision of God in these two chapters, 4 and 5, is a vision of God preparing to unleash the judgments that begin in chapter 6 and go all the way through chapter 19. By the way, I don't say this to intimidate you or scare you, but I do say this to basically put the fear of God in you, I hope. If you're not saved today, I would challenge you when you go home, read Revelation 6 to 19. If you're rejecting Christ, that's what you're going to endure. You're going to endure Revelation 6 to 19. If you're saved, you're going to have a little different view of it, if you will. You're not going to be in it. You're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please, please don't let embarrassment, don't let anything else get in the way. Satan is the master deceiver. He would love for you to experience Revelation 6 to 19. And by the way, we read what's going to happen to him in the last couple of chapters of the book of Revelation as well. So now in the beginning of Revelation, you will find, before what we read in the beginning, the first couple of chapters, the church was a major topic of discussion in chapters 1 through 3. And you can, now we're not reading all through that, but just giving you that as an overview. It's not mentioned again until Revelation 19. Okay? So that's just kind of a little bit of where we jump in. But what we're jumping into this morning is kind of, we're going to pull back, if you will, the sky a little bit, and we're going to travel to that throne room. I'm so glad we have the Bible. And we're going to travel to that throne room with John. And we're going to see three things. If you're taking notes, number one, we're going to see His majesty. His majesty. Folks, we are to bring glory to God. And the reason we're to bring glory to God are these three things. Number one, His majesty. Look, if you will, in verses 2 and 3. "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, likened to an emerald." The Bible says that the throne was set in heaven. That word "set" is not a word we should just read over. It's a word that tells us that the throne is permanent. It's a permanent throne. No one's going to move the throne of God. Satan will never move the throne of God. Satan's demons will never move the throne of God. It is a permanent throne. It is set. It is not going anywhere. The throne represents authority. Authority. Yes, Satan is the god of this world, but God is almighty. God is over all. God is sovereign. The picture of God on the throne reveals God as the reigning sovereign who judges the world. Think about it. John is seeing God on the throne. We see several examples of this in our Bible. If you'd quickly hold your place there, Mark Revelation, and quickly go with me to the book of Isaiah. His majesty. Why do we bring God glory? Number one, His majesty. Isaiah chapter number 6. You've probably read this. If not, it's another great passage. I heard it read this morning. Isaiah 6 and 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne." Sitting upon a throne, same throne. High and lifted up. His train filled the temple. We need to think of God high, holy, and lifted up. God is not just a buddy. Maybe He's not shouldn't be a buddy at all. He's a loving God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. But He's to be high, lifted high, holy in our minds. This is why when we come together at the house of the Lord, whether it's got a beautiful steeple and beautiful pews and all the bells and whistles of what maybe we're praying for, if it's God's will, it doesn't matter if it's that or what we have today, which, by the way, is very beautiful. We have a very beautiful place here to meet. But when we come and gather, we are to bring glory to God because of His majesty. We're not just here to joke around, and yes, we have some fun sometimes, but when we get into the Word of God and we think about the Lord and we get in here, we're not to be on our phones playing games. We're not to be looking around and wondering, okay, what's for lunch today? No, we're here to worship God. We're here to glorify God because of His majesty. Today, right now, January 5th, 2025, He is seated on the throne. He is there today. He is high, He is holy, He is lifted up, as Isaiah saw, as John saw. How about this one? Turn over quickly to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. This is why if the Lord has led us for 23 and a half years to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, we're not here to entertain one another. And I'm not concerned about any other place but Anchor Baptist Church. That's the under-shepherd position I've been given by the Lord. I thank Him for it. But I need you to pray with me. Because I need God to make sure that I'm guided not by what Ben Turner wants, but what God wants for Anchor Baptist Church in 2025. Please, I covet your prayers, and I know you pray. But we're not here to have a rockabilly service, okay? We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're not here to appease the flesh. And by the way, you should really be careful about your own personal consumption of music, especially. What kind of music do you listen to? What does it speak to first? If it doesn't speak to the spirit first, then you might want to change it. If it speaks to any other part of you, you might want to change it. You might want to ask God. Don't listen to me necessarily. Ask God. If you're saved, is this music pleasing to God? That I don't know how we got on music. But anyway. Okay. 1 Kings. Pray for me to stay on course. My mind is a little sharper today. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying. Verse 22. Chapter 22, verse 19. Did I give you the chapter? Okay. 22:19. Look at this. This is Micaiah. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord." What did he see? "I saw the Lord sitting on his" what? "Throne. And all the hosts of heaven," what were they doing? "Standing by him." How about that? Standing. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But he's God. But here, Micaiah says everyone was standing. Showing what? Respect. Because why? He is high, holy, and lifted up. He is His majesty. There's nobody on this earth that we should give more respect to than Almighty God. And all the hosts of heaven standing by Him on His right hand and on His left. How about the psalmist? Turn over to 47, please, quickly. Psalm 47, verse number 8. God's word says, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Holiness. Wow. Man, Psalm 47:8. I'll just give you these last two. Daniel 7, verses 9 and 10. And then Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. We won't turn to those for time. What did they see? They saw the same thing John saw in Revelation chapter 4. They saw God sitting on his throne. His majesty. Verse 3 of our text gives us the description of who, capital W, who was sitting on the throne. John attempts, with the Holy Spirit's help, to describe God the Father. We know this to be true because in Revelation 5, 5 to 7, God the Son takes the seven sealed book out of his hand, the hand of the Father. He's describing God the Father. Notice he says that he is like a jasper and a sardine stone. The word like here, notice the word like, lets us know that we have entered into what we would call symbolic language. What does this mean? It means that God is not a stone. Okay? God is not a rock. Okay? We say that and we think that's basic, but you know what? I'm not trying to be unkind, but there are people all over the world today that still worship a rock. They still worship a stone that has no life, that has no power, that is as weak as weak can be, and yet through deception, that stone is their God. John wasn't saying that God is a sardius stone or a jasper stone, okay? He said he was like, so it's symbolic language. His appearance reminded John of these precious stones. And by the way, these stones that are mentioned are not mentioned just because. They are the first and the last stones that are on the breastplate of the high priest. Think of that. Is that coincidence? No, there is no coincidence with God, okay? So John said, God is the beginning and the ending, if you will. God is the first stone on the breastplate of the high priest. And the last, he is the high priest, by the way. He is the great high priest. What about these two stones? Quickly, the jasper, it's clear and it's bright. It could be compared to somewhat like a diamond. But jasper, it speaks of firmness. I'm thankful that God today, 2025, it doesn't matter what happens in Ottawa, it doesn't matter what happens in Toronto or Vancouver, Victoria, God is never changing. God is a rock, okay? He's never changing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same as he was when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and John saw this vision from God, and the Holy Spirit said, write this down. The God that he saw is the same God that you can I, think of this now, think of this, you and I can enter into his throne room today in the name of Jesus Christ, and this unchanging, almighty God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. He wants to hear when our heart is breaking. He wants to hear when we can't handle anymore and we're grieving over something. This God, this firm, unchanging God says, come boldly into my presence. Think of this. This is not something that you can enter into the presence of God. When you go to heaven, you can enter into his presence now. Hebrews tells us that, to come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's not firm that he's like, I don't want to hear from you. No, he's firm and that he's unchanging. You may walk away from God, but God will never walk away from you. Think of that. I may walk away from God in an area of my life, but God will never walk away from me. He speaks of firmness. Since we are in the context of a throne room where sovereign authority is about to be exercised, this tells us that the laws of God also are unchanging. The laws of God. How about gravity? I don't think gravity has changed, has it? I think it's still, if you throw something up in the air, unless you're somewhere orbiting in outer space, in some way, that's going to come down. That's a law of nature. How about this one? We have a stove back there. You might have a stove at home. And if you take a kettle and you put it on the stove and you turn it on and it's the stove is working, and you come back in about 15 to 20 minutes, you are not going to find a kettle filled with ice. Right? Right. Okay, are you with me? You're going to find hot water. Because why? Because there is a law of thermodynamics. Boy, I'm throwing out some big words today. You should be proud of me. I'm telling you what, you shouldn't be proud of me. You should, man, where did he find these words? They're in books. You just got to read. Amen. I need to read more. Unchanging laws of God. Up comes down. Heat produces boiling water, not ice. It's a law of God. How about God's moral law, though? God's moral law. I hope we understand God's moral law is unchanging as well. Pastor, it's 2025. We do things differently. No, God doesn't. I don't know who we is, but I hope it's not you. And I hope it's never me. I hope I follow this book right here until I take my last breath, or until the Lord comes and calls us all to heaven to be, or up into the clouds to meet him in the air. I pray that it's not, well, let's go along with the times. No, let's go along with God. Because when we enter the throne room, we're entering a place that represents the laws of God, and they are unchanging. The Bible is not out of date about sin. Folks, we got to protect the church. Don't play with sin. Can you listen just for a minute? I know you're listening before that, but don't play with sin. The law of God says something. If you play with sin, it will bite you very hard. Galatians 6:7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I can't remember the text right now, but if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. That's a law of God. You can't play around with sin and expect not to have things in your life that are painful. Sin brings pain. Now we have a merciful God. Aren't you glad for that? That would have been a good time to say amen. Because I'm telling you right now, I have sinned and I will sin again. I'm not proud of that. I'm not trying to do it. It's just my nature. That's also a law of God, by the way. But I want to sin less. I want to sin less and bring God more glory. The Bible is not out of date. The Bible is not old fashioned. We cannot think how we want to think and live how we want to live and expect God to give us a free pass. God does not do that. They are sinning, and we could be sinning today against a God who is firm, firm, the jasper. And his moral law is unchanging. Then we see the sardine or the sardius stone. It is a blood red stone. Now, we just talked about the firmness of God. We just talked about the unchanging moral law of God. We just talked about how, you know what, you can't just pick and choose how we want to live our life and expect God to get glory out of it, or expect us to even be at peace with how we're living our life, because we won't be. If you're saved, you're not going to be at peace living like an unsaved person. It's not going to happen. You're going to be miserable. And we could all say amen to that, because we've all been there. It's not pointing at somebody else in the round the room. No, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. But now we see a different stone. It's a red blood stone, if you will. It's the Sardius stone. It reminds us that while God is a God of sovereign rule and absolute authority, who holds us to a high standard of holiness, he is also the God of redemption. He didn't just leave us to figure it out, and because we don't live according to his law, squash us. That's not how God works. What is this, Pastor? He is a God who saved all those who will turn to him by faith. He is a God, as I said a moment ago, of great mercy. Great mercy. Thank God this morning that he is a saving Lord as well as a sovereign Lord. Are you saved today? How many of you know Christ is your Savior? You've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You know you're going to heaven. You know what? Be thankful that he's a saving Lord. Yes, he's a sovereign Lord. Yes, his rules don't change. Yes, his moral law is in effect. But he's also a saving Lord. Meaning if you come and you're not saved, if you come humbly to him today, he will save you today. If God wasn't a saving Lord, we'd have no chance. But it was this holy and righteous God of judgment and yes, of wrath, who was moved by mercy, love, and grace to provide a way that everyone could come into his throne room. Not just John. I'm looking forward to that day in person, but you know what? I can go there anytime I want. From Port Moody, B.C., I can enter the throne room of God. From Burnaby, B.C., you can enter the throne room of God. From Surrey, B.C., and on, wherever you live, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus, you can enter that throne room. Why do we give God glory, his majesty? Number two, why do we give God glory, his character? His character. Skipping ahead down to verse number 8 in our text. Revelation 4:8, the Bible says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy. He is a thrice holy God." He's not just holy God. He's not just holy, holy God. He's thrice holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This is the only attribute of God in the Bible that you will find repeated. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, mercy, 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 God. Isaiah, we read it just a minute ago. We won't turn back there. But in Isaiah 6, Isaiah even said that those three, holy, holy, holy. This is what separates God from evil in any form. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God do this? God's never done evil one time. Why? Because he's holy, holy, holy. On Wednesday night, we talked about, and I'm not going to try to stay long on what we talked about, but it fits well here, I believe. We talked about, what did we talk about now? Victory through, what's that key word I'm looking for? I'm lost. What is it? Grief. Thank you. thank you. Somebody with a second language of English just helped me. What a guy. Please, everybody, even if you don't speak good English, keep coming. I need your help because I'm going to forget the English word. We talked about how grief was not, we were not created to handle grief. That's not how we were created. The sickness that I've been dealing with now for over a year and a half, God allowed it, but it's not like God put it in my body as a way of whatever. The curse allowed it. The curse. What's the curse? Sin. What brings cancer? I know maybe this is going to be hard to swallow. What brings cancer into somebody's body? God doesn't necessarily put it there. Yes, God allows it, but it's sin. It's the curse. And until we're in heaven, the curse is still in effect, folks. But God did not create sin. Make sure you understand that. God gave Lucifer a free will to choose what to do. God gave all of the angels a free will, by the way, as well, to choose. This isn't a Bible study on Satan's fall, but Satan fell because he chose that he wanted to be like the Most High. And when he made that choice, he had to leave the presence of God. Why? Because God is holy, holy, holy. You know what? It's why without Christ, you cannot enter the throne room of God today. People say, I'm going to pray. Well, you can pray, but if you don't know Christ, you're not entering the throne room of God. Because you can't go into the holy place with sin and blood, with sin on your hands. You can't do it. Why? Because God is holy, holy, holy. And when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, a beautiful thing happens. We receive the righteousness of Christ. You know what? Christ is holy, 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 because he's God. When I said yes to Christ when I was a 9-year-old boy, I didn't understand all the theological things that happened in that moment. But when I said yes to Jesus Christ as a 9-year-old boy, I received the righteousness of Christ. And today, when God sees Ben Turner, he does not see a sinful man. He sees his son. And when I come and I say, hey, God, in the name of Jesus, I need to talk to you. God says, come on in. Because he never turns away his son. In fact, he did it once and he'll never do it again, I should say. One time God turned in his back on his son. And I tell you, when you start to feel down in the mully grubs, just go look at Calvary. When you start to have a poochy lip moment, adults have poochy lip moments too. When you start to get down on everything and this and that and all of it, just go look, just march up to John 19 and 20. And just read it. Because the very Son of God on the cross was his son, his father turned his back on him. The worst thing that could ever happen. Why? Because my sin was piled on him and your sin was piled on him. And God is holy, holy, holy. But he'll never do that again. He'll never have to do it again. That sacrifice was paid once for all. God's holiness is a complete separation from evil in any form. When they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, here in our text, they're focusing in on the holiness of God expressed in a reaction against sin. Now think about what's coming. In chapter 6 through 19, what's coming is God's wrath, if you will, being poured out on sin. And he has to do that because of his character. He is holy. Holy, holy. Why else do we give God the glory? Number 3, because of his eternality. His eternality. He is eternal. We see that in verses 9 to 10. Twice it says, who liveth forever and ever. There is no one like God. Friends come and go. Even sometimes brothers and sisters come and go of the church. But I can tell you one who never goes. He came, but he never goes from our life. He is eternal. He is the eternal friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the eternal great high priest. Jesus Christ is. He is the eternal God who provides for our every need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. He is the eternal provider. What are you lacking today? Go to God. He is the eternal provider. The word speaks of God as being the, and Christ, of course, is God, being the Prince of Peace. He is the eternal provider. He is the eternal Prince of Peace. His eternality. Psalms 146:10, we read, the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. 2025, focus on the eternality of God. Focus on the fact that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Focus on the fact that he is good. When we do this, we bring God glory. It helps our lives to be pure and live for him. His majesty, his character, his eternality. And then number four, why do we give God glory? Number four is his power. That brings us to our theme verse. And it says in this theme verse, for thou hast created all things. Now, there are some very intelligent people in this room right now. I'm not joking around. There are very intelligent. You can take some things and you can put them together and make something out of them. It might be in the kitchen, ladies. You can take all these ingredients, you can put it together, and it can go in the oven, or it can go in whatever has to happen to it, and then voila, you've got this beautiful dish that is so palatable that everybody just wants to gobble it down. And men, many of you, ladies too, I mean, you can, if you have a few things, you can build. If you've got wood and nails and a hammer, you can build and you can make something. You could build a closet. You could build an add-on. Many of you could take a car, pieces of a car apart, and you could rebuild something. But the thing about all of what I just said is, to start with, you had something to begin with. You can't just say hammer and there's a hammer in your hand. You can't just say nails. You got to go to the hardware store. They've got them. You've got to go to the grocery store and get the flour. You've got to go to the grocery store and get the milk and the butter and whatever else goes into it. You have to have these items to begin with. But you know what? As you know, where I'm headed with this, that at the beginning of creation, God had nothing to begin with. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, don't forget it, in the beginning, God. He didn't have Home Depot. He didn't need Home Depot, okay? He didn't have a cupboard. Let's see. Let me go into the cupboard. You know what? God created the dust that he made man out of. God created all things. He is almighty. He is powerful. He is why we should only live our lives to bring him glory. There are many other entities, might we say, even friends. There are many other family members, potentially. There are neighbors, and I'm not saying be unkind, but they're not saying it this way, but in a sense, they're seeking your glory. They're seeking your attention. They're seeking your time. And the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, let's turn over there quickly. We're making the final approach. Used to always look at Brother Gord when I say that. Maybe you know Brother Gord. He flew in the RAF over in World War II. And there was always certain songs that we'd sing in church that he always really liked. He really liked them all. But whenever I say final approach, I always think of him. Miss that man. I'm thankful for his testimony of faithfulness. And we'll see him again. Why? We'll see him again because we know the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that day. God's word reads, and right in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, most powerful sermon ever preached, Jesus, three chapters in our Bible, verse 33, Matthew 6:33. Maybe you want to circle the second, third, and fourth words. Seek ye first. Maybe you want to circle those words in your Bible. Maybe you want to burn them into your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of Christians that are seeking so many things but God. Don't do that. It's not going to bring God any glory. You don't have to wait to stand before God to bring him glory. You can bring him glory now. And his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Our God created everything out of nothing. I submit to you, it takes a lot of power to create something out of nothing. God said, and it was so. I like what Isaiah wrote in chapter 43, verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We were created, church, to love, glorify, honor, praise, know, and worship Almighty God. What John described for us in Revelation 4 and 5. I would read that if have some time. We're going to work our way through the whole book in the morning, but take time to read it maybe every day. What John described, God allowed him to see. So he could put it down, obviously, for John, but so that we could read about it and meditate on it and study it thousands of years later. We could say, okay, I want to bring glory to God too. I want to be like one of those 24 elders, if you will, bringing glory to God right now. Yes, someday I hope many of us will have many crowns to cast at his feet, our Lord and Savior. But even today, could I encourage us as we move into a brand new year? Let's focus on not our glory. Let's not focus on our will. Let's not focus on what we desire. Let's focus on his glory. Let's focus on his will and whatever his way is. It won't always be easy. But remember, he's eternal. He's right there with us. And we take the step of faith. He's right there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we could gather together. Please, Holy Spirit of God, would you work in our hearts even now? Thank you for working through this message. Thank you for helping. I truly believe, God, you met with us. And you are meeting with us now. We're not asking, Father, that we would be the same. We're asking, God, that we would be changed. We're thankful that you changed us when we got saved. We became a new creation. But we know that there are different times when we need to renew that commitment, not of getting saved again, but of getting back on track of being led by your Spirit, not just in the big things, but everyday life, that we might bring you glory for your majesty. So what we learn there about your character, holy, you are holy, holy. Thank you that you are eternal, Father. You will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And Father, we didn't spend a whole lot of time, but the power that you have is available to be victorious in this Christian life. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you quickly, is there anyone that would say, Pastor, God is convicting my heart. God's Spirit is convicting my heart. I am not saved. I have never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I need to get saved. I need to get saved now. God's convicting me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. But I would like to pray for you. Is there anyone, you just slip your hand up. Pastor Turner, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. Anyone like that? Anyone at all? Not sure I'm saved. Dear Christian, in just a moment, the invitation hymn will be played. It could be that God challenged you about something specific. But remember, it's not real until it's personal. Maybe you need to come to this altar if you're physically able and you need to just talk to God about what he impressed upon your heart from these verses. God's word will change our lives. He's constantly changing us, by the way. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would get the glory even in this very first Sunday morning meeting. Please, humble us, Father. I didn't see any hands, Father, but you know every heart. If there's someone who's not saved, I pray that even in this invitation, they would come and say yes to Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. The pianist will begin to play. If you're not sure you're saved, would you come? Christian, would you come? God spoke to you specifically in your heart about something. Would you come? Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. And I hope you, if you haven't met someone here today that you see, go by and greet them. Don't forget those little jam packets are in the back. And we have those revival devotionals. There's just a few of those available. If you still need to get one of those, there's some available back there for you. And be careful going down the steps, as always. And we're looking forward to 4 o'clock, Gospel Farsi Ministry. And then 6 o'clock, our evening service over in New West. And then just a tremendous time for a baptism on this first Sunday of the year. If you are saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, we are going to be baptizing tonight. You can come, it would be a good thing to come and witness that. Maybe you've never seen an actual Bible baptism. There's only one kind, and it's immersion, okay? We can even talk to you about that after the meeting. But we will have the water and the robes ready. And thank you, Brother Kim, in advance for your help with that every time. Great ministry help with that. But praise the Lord for all of this. Continue to pray for Mrs. Gutierrez and her family. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting. You've been so good to us. Thank you for this beginning meeting of 2025 on Sunday, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for your word that ever liveth and abideth forever. Thank you for the truths from your word that we took this morning. And I pray that we'll just consider them, not just for this hour, but throughout the week. Lord, we look forward to even tonight, the teaching and preaching in the Patch Club, the new series for the youth class. And then book of Ezra, as we continue on Ezra chapter 4 tonight, that you would bless that as well. And then, of course, the baptism to follow. And also the Gospel Farsi at 4 o'clock. Lord, pray that they'd have visitors. Lord, we're praying for visitors at 4 and 6. I forgot to mention that. Praise the Lord for the visitor this morning. We're praying for visitors in both of the next two services as well, that you'd get the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.